it is time to bring in our main man, Mr. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, to talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. You guys can't forget about the Christmas classic Jingle All the Way.
That's a good one.
Yeah, see, Jingle All the Way is represented in some form or fashion. No question about that. Well, speaking of jingling all the way, the Buckeyes look like they were going to fumble their jingle bells. At least they did that in the early stages of Saturday's game against Penn State. Then they were able to get their wits about them and come from behind to defeat the Nittany Lions. What an incredible win last week, Dunny. Where were you shooting from last week?
I wasn't at the game. I had to be more for home games. I had to be back at the station to put the highlights together. We do scoreboard updates on the scoreboard for Ohio Stadium, so I'm putting those together. So I was watching it like you and everybody else at home on their television, because I was just at work on the TV.
Send a Hall of Famer like you to the games?
No, I got other duties to do on game days. We have another skilled photographer to help out and shoot the games while I'm getting everything else ready. We got a lot of stuff that we put on the air for Saturdays after Buckeye games.
Interesting stuff. Well, give us an idea as to what you're thinking with 5 minutes left in that game, because I'm watching this game. I saw a really good chunk of it, and as the game progresses, I was watching that, and I was watching a classic Sparty meltdown against Northwestern at the exact same time,
yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, boy, here's a loss for Ohio State at home against Penn State. There are a lot of big-time recruits there as well. This would be a pretty bad loss for the Buckeyes. I don't know if they could recover from this, and then all of a sudden they come from behind. What's going through your mind with 5 minutes left in that game?
Well, you're going to ask our weekend anchor, Dave Holmes, what I was thinking, because about when the game went into the fourth quarter, I'm thinking, I don't feel like Ohio State's out of this. They were dominating the stats, rushing. They were dominating on offense, that's for sure. They were playing better defense in the second half than they were in the first half. I didn't think the Buckeyes were out of it. They got that block punt, and I think that block punt was the key to the fourth quarter comeback. I think without that block punt, it's a lot tougher. They scored two plays after that. With 5 minutes left, I thought, you know what? They have this. They score. They get that huge defensive stop where Sam Hubbard says, I'm going to tackle both people. I don't care who you are, who has the ball. I'm tackling both guys. And the next thing you know, Buckeyes go down, score again. JT Barrett makes his Heisman debut and his Heisman candidacy known in that fourth quarter against Penn State.
JT Barrett had an absolutely amazing game in that one, especially with that comeback. But I wanted to ask you, I was watching the same game you were. I thought the same thing. At halftime, I'm thinking, okay, Penn State's got the lead, but look, things can change awfully quickly when you're playing in the horseshoe, and Ohio State obviously has the fan base behind them. But as I looked at social media, a lot of Columbus friends out there were sort of already giving it to Penn State on that one. Why was there such and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like there was sort of a negative connotation down there in Columbus for whatever reason at that time at halftime.
It wasn't just Columbus. It was, sure. A lot of Buckeye fans were thinking the same thing, thinking, you know, the play calling, they need to go more north-south instead of east-west, quit with the bubble screens, put J.K. Dobbins in there, run downhill. They were having a lot of success with him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's, you know, there's a reason why Ryan Day and Kevin Wilson and Urban Meyer, the coaches, and we're just sitting and watching the games.
Sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, I mentioned this earlier, Donnie. Ohio State and Penn State often battle for top-notch recruits in Ohio and Pennsylvania. What names were you hearing, or did you hear anything about any of the big-name recruits that were in attendance in Columbus for that game last Saturday?
I believe Micah Parsons was there. He's debating going between Ohio State and Penn State. He was committed to Penn State earlier in the year. He committed before the season starts. Emory Jones, a big four-star, five-star quarterback who's been committed to the Buckeyes since 2016, I believe. But he's been heard that he's been waffling, that possibly going to Alabama. So that's an interesting note. The Buckeyes just allegedly offered a four-star quarterback from Kentucky for next year. So there, you know, you could see some of that happening, possibly with Emory Jones. But you know, there were a lot of big name players and recruits that are there, and you know, remember, a win or a loss may not change their minds, but that atmosphere and then that, you know, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the jerseys and the atmosphere, the blackout and all that goes a long way in them choosing the Buckeyes over another school.
Five-star analyst Sean Dunnigan from WBNS-TV joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Our spotlight on Medina coming at you live from Castle Noel. Dunny, you feel like the coaching staff has more confidence in Dobbins over Weber, or do you think it's the other way around? Because it feels like they're using a lot of these guys, they're using both these guys equally in these situations the last couple of weeks here. And, you know, Dobbins feels like he's one of those guys that has a little more promise, but Weber's also a guy I feel like they trust a little bit more.
I think they trust Weber a lot more in pass protection, and I think that's why you saw him a little bit more. I believe Dobbins saw the field, or if he did, it was very little in the second quarter. And then the fourth quarter is a lot more Weber because of pass protection. I think that might be a big reason why Weber might just have the coaching staff might have a little bit more confidence in Mike Weber over J.K. is just the ability to block, the ability to get that linebacker or that defensive end or that corner that's blitzing to recognize what's coming at the quarterback and to help him have that extra second to get the ball out.
Dunny, also taking a look at the kickoff coverage as well. I know that was something that we touched on last week. Urban Meyer thought they had those issues squared away during the bye week, and then sure enough, you know, Saquon Barkley does what he does with that opening kickoff in that game. You feel like that's going to be an extra point of emphasis in practice this week?
It's been an extra point of emphasis since the game ended, and we'll continue to be for the rest of the year, I think. I would not be surprised if a lot more starters are on the kickoff coverage. Maybe like an Austin Mack or a Chris Worley might be on that kickoff coverage now. I know the captains have brought it up and saying, if you need us to be on that kickoff coverage, we'll do it. You know, Coach Meyer, you know, he said in the past, you know, if we could consistently kick the ball out of the end zone, we'd just do that. But he doesn't think they can do that consistently.
Yeah, well, look, that's become a little bit of a tougher thing to do. And, boy, kickoffs, especially in college, it's no gimme. You know what I mean? Especially in the Big Ten, where you're battling the weather elements week in and week out. And that brings us to the next test for the Ohio State Buckeyes, a really big road test this Saturday against Iowa. What are the Buckeyes saying about the Hawkeyes?
Well, I think everybody around here is thinking what Matt was thinking last week, and that was, you know, a trap game. You know, will the Buckeyes be coming off of a big high and beating Penn State? Will this be a trap game? And the Buckeyes, I think, know what they're getting themselves into with Iowa. They're not coming in overconfident. They're coming in confident, but you have to have confidence to win. But they're not overconfident. They're not cocky. They know this will be a tough, hard-fought game. And Coach Meyer has instilled in these guys that this is Iowa. These are, you know, Iowa's they take over the personality of the state. Hardworking, blue-collar guys that just want to come up and hit you. It will be a very physical game. I think that's what the Buckeyes are preparing for.
So you're saying 39-38 is probably not something we're going to see again this Saturday, right?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if this game comes down to the fourth quarter. I mean, that is the type of team that Iowa is. This team will just hang in there and hang in there. When you think they're done, you look up at the score, and it's a seven-point game with maybe 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they have the ball driving. You're going, how the heck did we get to this point? Yeah, I would not be surprised if this game is still in doubt in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Iowa always seems to be one of those teams that plays against the good teams really well. Sean, real quick, I wanted to ask you about the college football playoff polls. Those have come out. The Buckeyes don't find themselves in the top four. Does the coaching staff pay any attention to this, or are they just waiting for that final one to come out?
I don't even know if they know when the final one comes out. So there's six in the playoff. I think that's a good thing. I think the players look at this and go, we still have more hunting to do. We still have to go out there and make our point that we are one of the top four teams in the country. It doesn't matter where you start the college football playoffs when they first come out. You look at 3 years ago when the Buckeyes won the first ever one. They started, I believe, 16th in the country, and they were moved up to fourth. Maybe a month and a half later during the final one. Doesn't matter where you start, it matters where you finish in the top four. And if you're in the top four, then anybody can win it.
And as we've been saying pretty much since day one when we had you on at the start of the season, look, with one loss, they can probably get there. And as long as they don't lose that game within the conference, I think they're going to be fine. And I still think that holds true here on November the 2nd. Donnie, where will you be tomorrow night? Of course, it's the first Friday night in the high school football playoffs here in the great state of Ohio. Where do they have you headed tomorrow?
I got myself heading to Northmont at Pickery Extension. Then I'm heading to Hannibal River at Harvest Prep. And then I'm going to Independence to get the game over at for the Columbus City League. So I'll be going three games tomorrow.
Very good stuff. A busy, busy man you are, my friend. We always appreciate you making some time for us here, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good one.
All right, Donnie, thank you. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, talking Ohio State Buckeye football with us here.